This time of year always makes me rethink what's in my closet. I'm trying to keep fewer things, but better ones. Pieces that are well made and easy to wear all the time. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. Quince has the fabrics that feel elevated. The fits are thoughtful, and the pricing actually makes sense. Quince makes high-quality everyday essentials using premium materials like 100% European linen and their insanely soft flow-knit activewear fabric. Fabric so soft, it is insane! Their men's linen pants and shirts are lightweight, breathable, and comfortable. Pants strike the right balance between laid-back and refined, so you look put together without trying too hard. And their flow-knit activewear, moisture-wicking, anti-odor, and soft enough that you'll actually want to wear it all day? The best part is that their prices are 50 to 60% less than similar brands. How? Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middleman. So you're paying for quality, not brand markup. Everything is designed to last and make getting dressed easy. Just thinking about clothes from Quince right now makes me feel a lot better. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Quince.com/catamaran for free shipping and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. Go to Quince.com/catamaran for free shipping and 365-day returns. Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. We f***ed it. Anyway, you'll find a way. Catamaran home! Oh, it make a similar noise.
Oh,
so good. Sam, hello, and welcome to the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. Again, you were on an episode earlier that I got busy and forgot to edit, and it never came out.
I forgot about it.
Did you?
I don't remember this.
It did
at
happen.
All.
Oh, it did, okay. Happen. We were talking about how you made a viral marketing campaign for a bird charity.
I thought we just talked about doing that episode, and then we didn't actually. Oh, no, we did do that.
No, we did.
I just forgot you recorded it.
No, I was. I think a child came along and probably disturbed what was going on there. Sam is in America. This is not a high fidelity Zoom chat. You're here.
I'm here.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
You've helped us out in a stitch. I got on the... Sam was my boss at several copywriting jobs.
Yeah.
And then web design. I didn't do much of the designing. And then... we've stayed friends and you've agreed to come out. You've been here for, what, 2 weeks?
Yep.
Wow, what a time we've had. We went to New Orleans. You got to see Bucky's. We can unpack it all. It was so nice to show America to an Australian and to see it again through foreign eyes.
I think Bucky's was maybe the most, like, awesome, terrifying experience.
Yeah, you went nuts.
Yeah.
You were, it looked religious. You were, went
it
very
felt
wide
really,
eyes.
I think at one point
your
I like put my hands
came
to
together.
Prayer. Yeah.
Yeah. You were walking around with prayer hands in Bucky's. We should explain. It is a gas station.
I didn't know what to do with myself.
What is it that when you, so we got into the Bucky's, first thing you did was you wanted to embrace the brass statue of a, is
well,
it a beaver?
I think, yeah, it's the beaver. And I don't think I really knew what was, it was like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
We had just come back from our first NBA game.
Man, how... Yes, loved the NBA.
Which was incredible. And I think we bought tickets because my friend said, please go to the NBA.
Shout out Jared.
Jared.
Who wanted so badly to go to the NBA and was watching on television while we were there.
Yeah,
no doubt understanding it on a much deeper level than we were.
Yeah, we were just... I don't know.
I was there going, that guy looks like Waka Flocka Flame. That guy looks like Vince Staples.
So it was 1 a.m. We were driving back from San Antonio, back
yes.
to Austin. And you said, we got to go to Bucky's. And I said, okay, I guess.
I tried to get us into Bucky's on the way there.
No, I think the
didn't.
Right choice was going.
Yeah, when
afterwards.
We were all exhausted. So you get in, you see the statue. First of all, it's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And I was like, this is ridiculous. This gas station is massive.
Yeah.
Look, there's a statue of a guy. That seems pretty Disney to me.
It, yes. I remember you saying this, that it was Disneyland to you. It was the closest thing to Disneyland that you've been to outside of Disneyland. Disneyland,
I think,
Japan.
Yeah, because like I think it's like I was thinking about this morning, like, Bucky's feels like someone went to Disneyland.
Yeah.
And was like, I can do this with a gas station too. And then they did it.
All right, but let's pause that out.
Okay, sorry.
So having a mascot, that's number one.
Yeah.
Happy staff members. That's also nice. Happy staff members.
You go in and I feel like everyone greets you here.
Yeah.
But in Bucky's, they're like onto it. They see you come through the door.
There's so much greeting.
Yeah. And they're like so happy to have you. We bought that wrapping paper. And the woman was like, wow.
I never saw that wrapping paper before. I didn't know we had it.
And I think it was just every piece of merch.
Yeah. You bought a lot. You bought a lot.
I think I spent most of my money at Bucky's.
All your souvenir dollar went through Bucky's.
Okay? Yeah.
You bought the wrapping paper. You bought several...
Don't mess with Texas.
Nationalist Texas shirts.
I want...
And a
hat.
You got a Don't Mess With Texas hat and a Don't Mess With Texas sticker.
I think what's important to know here is that every time I told people in Australia that I was going to Texas...
Yeah.
I don't think anyone believed me.
I have sort of forgotten how... reticent I was to come over to America because of my thought of what America would be like. Like, we were, you know, worried about getting shot.
Yes.
And we should be. I mean, on your first night here, the gunshots did ring out and I had failed to warn you that that was a fairly regular occurrence in the neighborhood.
Yes.
So my bad.
That's okay.
But you were so tired, you said you almost slept through it.
Well, I heard it and then I was like... I guess so.
I mean, it's...
I think... Like,
yeah, we got to roll with the... You got to roll with the punches.
I'm here now.
They move. I think it's multiple people in the neighborhood shooting off. And also, I think this is just our neighborhood. Other people I talk to in America are like, that shouldn't be happening. It's very hard to know what is nuts and what is just to be accepted. Because a lot of it is nuts.
I think because like my conception of America...
Yeah.
As soon as I had landed was that would just be happening all the time.
Just I think I heard it popping off.
Yeah, and then I think I heard it, and I was like, "Yeah, okay, I guess so." Like,
it's good. It lives up to the expectation. I'm trying to remember what else you bought. You bought.
I've got an apron. Yeah. I'm currently wearing the Don't Mess With Texas t-shirt. With Texas.
I bought a pepper spray for my wife at Bucky's recently to make her feel more safe. The food was great. The salsa was fantastic.
Salsa was great. I got a Bucky's hot sauce.
Okay. I don't know where to start. We'll just do it a Bucky's chunk off the top to let people know. Yeah. It's like in Australia we would have like a Kmart. It's huge. They sell so many things. Food, snacks, drink. You can warm up your coffee. The restrooms are beautiful. But on the way back from New Orleans, which is the second thing.
Yes.
Second part of the trip, we passed the longest drive-through car wash in the world.
Yeah.
It was kind of hard to tell how long it was while we were in it because you can't really see out of... Do you know what I mean?
I don't know why I expected it to be like a ride.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a... It was a ride.
There was razzle-dazzle.
Yeah.
They were projecting lights onto the car. The wax came in different Bucky's colors so that the windows... Do you remember this? Like one side of the car was red and one side was blue and one it was like a Romanian flag all over the car.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. But the length of it, it was hard. We didn't really know how fast we were moving through it. And
yeah.
And you couldn't see out. So the length didn't... It's not like it took extra time. It wasn't the longest.
It didn't take extra time. I would say that was shorter than other automated car washes I've been to. But it was definitely the length of it that made me go. And we didn't get to Six Flags, so I went, well, I want to go on one ride.
Oh, sorry. Well, it's 10:15 a.m. Look, if we have to go to Six Flags... No, we're
not going to Six Flags.
We're not making it to Six Flags. We meant to make it to Six Flags the first week you got here. Maybe I'll start here as we enter minute 7 of the podcast. Sam arrived and... one of the many reasons it was so nice to have you here was that we were sort of falling apart. We were all over the place. It's hard with the kids and atomization, all these things. You're a good friend. You said, I will come. I will be helpful. That was so kind. And boy, the first 3 days, everything. I did my back on a swing. I came back from Washington, had a lovely time at Washington, did my back almost immediately.
Yep.
And also lost my AirPods.
And I do want to say I was crippled with no AirPods. I went on the swing.
Mm.
I was having too much fun on the swing.
You think I wouldn't have gone on the swing
otherwise?
And
you said, that looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. I tried to jump off the swing.
Yeah.
Which that was me. You didn't do that, I don't think.
Yeah, I do feel like that.
I made an innovation.
Yeah.
So that was a mistake. That was a mistake, and then I realized my AirPods had fallen out of the case. So the next day we had to go around.
That was a low day for you.
Found one.
You did.
And so I had to go and buy the other one, and we got to go to the mall.
That's great.
And I feel like you were let down by the mall. And right, we actually do malls really well in Australia.
I think that did feel like maybe not one of the best malls. Oh, but I did have a really nice conversation.
Not one of the worst malls.
Those
small town malls where they're sinking into the ground.
I think the mall was more impressive from the outside.
Boy, was it. We don't have malls. We don't have that car parking situation where it fully surrounds it.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah. And all the entrances look the same.
There were three different exits to the, I believe it was possibly the JCPenney section. Was it the JCPenney section? It was Macy's.
It was the David Jones one.
Nordstrom? One. Nordstrom.
Yeah.
Nordstrom had three different exits. So we came out and then we had to continue walking around the car a lot. I'm not good at this. How I find the car.
Uh-huh.
I try and feel in my heart dread and which direction the dread is taking me. And that guides me to the crappiest car in the parking lot. And that's always my car.
So the way that I normally find my car is I take a photo of it.
Smart.
Yeah. And then you don't have to feel...
It's more reliable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have no big issue with that.
That's tip number one.
I felt like that more was a turning point in the trip. I was not as disabled after that point.
No, you were feeling much better.
I was able to move a little bit. But Six Flags at that point was like, we'll have to do that. Today is the day that we've scheduled
to go to Six
Flags.
I don't think we're going to Six Flags. No, I understand. It's okay.
But we switched it up and we went to New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's the best city I've ever been to in my entire life.
That's huge.
Yes. I can't think of a better city.
I think once we got to French Quarter,
yeah,
and we just got out, and it took us like 2 minutes to get from the car park to like the bit.
Right in the throbbing heart of the French Quarter.
And I think just looking at everyone, and I have a good photo of everyone, just wide-eyed, just like...
How you felt about Bucky's, we felt about the French Quarter.
Yeah, yeah, which is like, it's kind of like the same.
It's alien. It's huge. It's incredible that it's been allowed to happen.
Beautiful. And like just like you can just walk around. I don't know. It's so old.
It's like, there's very few words that one can have for the French Quarter. I'll tell you, I loved it so much. I was looking up living in the French Quarter on the first night. And I didn't tell anybody this because I was looking it up. And the day we had driven over, but not on Thursday, several people were shot in a drive-by shooting in the French Quarter. And that was after the first day. I was like, everyone seemed pretty happy out there. This does happen semi-regularly, but it's a big French Quarter.
Were we around there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just someone just drove by and popped off. We were all like, we walked the whole French Quarter.
Such a good secret.
Thanks, I appreciate it. I just didn't want to alarm anyone. I was like, well, we're going back to the French. Even if we know about the shooting, we'll go back.
The next morning, you're like, should we go back?
Yeah.
We were all like,
I'm ready to get shot. Yeah. I was ready to die in New Orleans.
Great.
Man, I tried to do comedy last night about it. I got up and I did 10 at the club. And it was just, I didn't have anything to say. It was just,
wow.
I love New Orleans. And the best I could do is like, it's so nice. I want to live there, even though it's obviously like murder capital.
I think it's absolutely one of the most like beautiful towns I've ever been to. And it's just like the buildings. I think it's like the textures, right?
You love the lamps.
You can walk around. The lamps.
You went nuts for the lamps.
Because like, I think it's like all the details, right?
Yeah.
You can have a lamp that lights up and it's fine.
Yeah.
A little fire. And it moves around and it's not like doing too much.
No.
It's not getting in the way.
But it feels real.
It's so nice.
It's a big chunk of a previous video I did for the podcast about going to Bentonville, which is where I first saw them.
Yes.
And they had the lamps there. And I was like, what? And... they're just not in most places in America.
Well,
and also Washington. They're all like the richest people in Washington. They've all got those lamps. That's the ultimate status symbol for wealth in America is like the Beltway and elite corporates. But then the fact they've also got them in New Orleans, which is not by any stretch the richest place in America.
Yeah. I've been thinking about culture. Like this thing of like the difference between like luxury and expensive things.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like we've made luxury and expensive the same thing.
Yes.
So like Washington, those lamps, expensive houses, feels very luxurious and expensive. But New Orleans
just felt luxurious.
It just felt luxurious.
Yeah.
Not particularly expensive.
I don't think this is a... I think Australians make this differentiation better than Americans.
Really?
Well, they don't op shop here. Poor people don't thrift.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're poor, you just... Even if you're poor or rich, you seem to just wear different versions of the same tracksuit. But this, even like alternative people, there's a big enough like alt scene where if you're rich and you're in the alti thing, it's like, oh, I'll wear the Odd Future sweater or something. Like whatever Gorman has done for one segment of ladies has been done to the entire segment of the alternative scene, as best I can tell.
Yes.
And I think what proves how much better... How much less frequented the thrift shops are is how cheap everything is there in the op shops. Oppie, the Goodwill. I need one good word for it. Secondhand stores. Everything's cheap and the choices are way better.
Yes. I got an amazing jacket. It says Frito-Lay on it here.
Yeah, you were very happy with your Frito-Lay jacket.
Oh, man. I went for a walk and I just found an op shop, like, what, 10 minutes from here. Frito-Lay jacket. It's got like a fur collar. It's like incredibly like sewn together, and then it has this bloody Frito-Lay.
I remember when we passed the Frito-Lay truck, which I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, really. I thought maybe I could get on it.
Maybe I can work for Frito-Lay. What a life. What a life if you just come to America and... I just came to visit a family, but I'm now working for... I'm the Frito-Lay CEO. That's how I started as an illegal immigrant.
I think you can have dreams here, you know.
I don't think I've ever had a Frito-Lay.
That's a chip. You've had it. You've had Lay's.
Oh, is that Frito-Lay?
Yeah.
Oh, I've absolutely had a Lay's chip.
Yeah.
The very thin ones?
Yeah. The thin.
Light they're not and tangy. Crinkly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Light and tangy is one of the... It's weird that no other company started doing light and tangy. Because like everybody does a salty Vin. Everybody does a salt. Everybody does a chicken. Everybody does a barbecue. But only they do the light and tangy. That's a good... I wonder if they even have that in America. That's my second chip for sure.
What's your first one?
Salt and vinegar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I feel like light and tangy is like salt and vinegar more seasoning.
I have a problem with light and tangy because they're too easy to eat. And I would
just go so thin.
Full handful. Yeah. And it's like just eating some sort of weird powdery potato monstrosity. Now, what did we see? We stayed in a great shotgun shack. I didn't think that was going to work.
No, neither did I.
Yeah.
But I think we worked it out.
It was so beautiful. No one said it at the start when it was three rooms connected to each other.
I looked at your wife and we were like,
Oh, you just had a quiet. Yeah, it was, and then we had to pick which work? Room, and it was, and you had to walk through the kids' room to get to the bathroom.
Yeah,
it was a problem.
We worked it out.
It was fine.
Yeah,
it was astonishingly fine. Long term,
no,
huge problem. I think you'd have to use the out. You'd have to get the outdoors.
You'd have to move that shed that was in the way. Yeah,
there was yes. Oh, we got to go to the Latin Mass. I got to catch 8 minutes of Mass.
Yeah, it was great.
It was hard with the kids. And
you
there
really,
was
when you got in though, you really focused in there.
Oh, I had a beautiful...
Yeah, it was great.
It was so beautiful.
That was the first time I've been to Latin Mass.
How was it? All the Latin Mass listeners will be thrilled to hear.
Great. the only real Mass that I've been to before is Pentecostal church.
Okay.
Is probably the main equivalent that I can kind of draw. No, it was really nice. I was getting quite run down at that point. And so I went in feeling quite unwell. And and James was like, you go in. Just go in. Just go in. I was like, are you sure?
I thought someone should get to enjoy it.
No, it was beautiful.
How good was the shell on top of the...
Yeah, what is that shell about?
It's some sort of Marian thing that like Mary is.
He's a pearl shell. In that shell.
Yeah. They use, I know, for baptism, they'll have like sometimes a special shell that looks like that shell. And they use, I love that. I'd never seen that, a shell of that size in that position before.
It was huge.
It's a big shell. And then I was outside for a lot of it with my kids until the middle one was able to get it together. And there was a man, I didn't know he was a... It turned out he was a priest. I saw the collar eventually, but he was like, he just looked like the most New Orleans guy ever. He had like sunglasses on, a big hat. He was in a rocking chair having a cigar. And then when it came time for like the bit where they needed help doing communion, he like finished his cigar and walked in and helped. But it's like, that's great. What I'm about. That's my politics.
Great.
is that.
That was beautiful. The incense?
Smells of bells.
Great.
It's great. The singing, all the melodies were the same. I'm sorry that I didn't get to go more often. I'm sorry we don't have something like that in. Oh, man, it was cool. I wanted to. Okay, we're 18 minutes in.
Great.
So we've
we've done it.
No, we've got to keep going for a long time. It's important stuff to talking about. But I think that's enough of the fair weather people gone that I can really now hunker down and talk about Australian politics with you.
Okay.
Because I'm not talking Australian politics very much with people.
Great.
And you don't have to expose yourself any way.
Great.
I know that since you've been here, you want to blow up abortion clinics and get yourself a gun. You've been talking about that nonstop.
Yeah, I won't shut up about it.
She can't be stopped. People like... Maybe that's not the way to say it. There is a sense that Peter Dutton is not a massive goober in the way that he was a year and a half ago. Something's happened to Peter. Peter's gotten his groove. I don't even want to say he got it back. He never had a groove.
No.
Peter's got a groove.
Well, I think whenever I think of Peter Dutton, I always think of that Voldemort photo where he's like...
Terrible photo.
In an awful, awful way.
Should have been the end of his career.
And he's done something. And I think it was like... It was at the point where he was like, we're going to go nuclear as a nuclear power. And then he's gone. Also, I'm a cop and I'm a dad and I'm from Queensland.
You said these were the trifecta, that and nuclear.
I think that's what he's like putting his personality on. Because Albo did the same thing before the election, except he was like, I'm a dad, a DJ, and cool. I don't know.
Then there was some other weird stuff like, the marriage is falling apart.
Oh, yeah, that was weird. I'm bringing my son into the Qantas lounge. Yeah. Like,
okay, I'd like to start there. This... I don't understand from afar.
Yeah.
This makes me really... I get fired up about this.
Okay.
So since I've left Australia, there's been a big... I had to first explain it. I want the Americans to come along for the journey. Qantas is a... It has been semi-owned by the government for some time. I don't know how much the government owns Qantas at the moment.
Yeah,
but they have long-standing relationships with Qantas. It's like the spirit of Australia... In the way that a third world country would have, like, the airline.
Well,
that's how the airline.
Spirit of Australia, I think, is their, like, brand line.
Yes. It's their brand? Oh, it's a brand.
Yeah. You just like, that's just been, like, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It integrates, like, when you think, what is white, upper middle class, international, like, what do we think of ourselves? It's Qantas.
Well, yeah. When I was a kid in school, I don't know if this ever happened to you, they came over and like a choir had us audition to be in...
I was the wrong age. I was, yeah, you're a bit younger than me. I know a girl who got it. Kendra.
Yeah. And everyone has a story like this of like all these kids having to like audition to sing in the choir that was in the Qantas ads.
I've been to cities that never slow down.
I got selected and my parents didn't want me to do it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You got the call up and you didn't get to
do
it?
I got the tap.
Oh.
Because they tapped you on the head.
What?
Yeah. They everyone had to sing the song.
Yeah.
And they would come up and listen to you with like their ears.
Man.
And you would like sing your little angelic voice.
And if they gave you the tap, you were in?
They would give you a little tap on the head and you were in.
That's...
And they would like give you a little form to fill out. They'd be like, do you want to do this?
I can't believe you didn't get to go and...
I know.
If they'd known what that ad was going to become...
I know.
You could have that for... I mean, you would have to fly to Dubai or something? You could do it with a green screen now.
Yeah.
Have you seen Mums versus Dads by Sam Campbell?
No.
I think he's making fun of that. No, it's a great one to share. But it's like, it has the similar aesthetic where he's dressed up like one of the kids.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, man, that's nuts. Well, that sort of, that's not a bad description of Qantas for, if you think of like pristine singing children in the 90s, like it's not upper class, right? It's not rich. It's not like a luxury. It has luxuries, but it's like, this is what Australia is meant to be. This is like baby, respectable baby boomer, things done excellently.
Yes.
Older flight attendants, but they're dressed so nicely and they're so crisp. No corner has been cut. They're doing it right.
Well, I mean, my family immigrated from Poland.
Yeah.
And they, like, the most patriotic thing, the most Australian patriotic thing we ever did was hang out in the frequent flyers Qantas lounge.
Okay, this is vital. This is vital. They have three lounges. So you were in the pleb lounge, and if you're congested at any point, need to blow your nose. I know you're congested before you got the
Thank
water.
You
seem fine. You seem like you're doing great. All right. I just want to let you know.
Thank you.
There's the lounge for the frequent flyer people. Then there's the like business lounge, which is smaller than that, but inside the other lounge.
Yeah.
And then there's a third lounge inside of that of unimaginable luxury.
I think it's called the Chairman's Lounge.
The Chairman's but I Lounge.
I think it's called the Chairman's Lounge.
Okay, but it's invitation only. You can't fly enough to get in there. They have to invite you.
They have to invite you.
And they invite like politicians and things. So this is like, this is blown up into sort of a scandal. Everybody knew this. Every private school boy knew this. I didn't know that other people didn't know this. That, yeah, like they're picking and choosing who gets, like this is, it's also a business. They're running to make a profit. And there is some pretty unscrupulous stuff going on at Qantas with like firing people and service being bad and like charging people for flights and not giving them their refund when they cancel the flight that they knew they were going to cancel. But then like to avoid prosecution and to have a hallowed state, and because the only way you can get around in Australia in a meaningful way is on a plane, if you're in business, like we don't have a high-speed rail. One of the reasons is because Qantas might be paying people off.
Yes.
But Qantas gives you the favor of a nice business lounge if they want to curry favor with you. And this is now a scandal. Like this is, they shouldn't be doing, people shouldn't be accepting upgrades from Qantas, which happens all the time.
Yeah.
So this is what upsets me about it. I'm sorry to go on a rampage. I'm sorry. Do people really think that our politicians shouldn't be allowed to fly business class? Like, what's the point of even trying to get ahead if you can't have the bigger chair? Excuse me. I'm done. That was the only point that I wanted to make.
Well, I think like Pauline Hanson.
Yeah.
She always flies economy or something.
She's a battler.
I don't want to make things up. There are definitely some politicians who make a real point out of I fly economy.
Man.
Because I'm one of the people. Yeah. But Qantas, whoever is in power, they basically go, well, you can be in the Chairman's Lounge. You get the most beautiful flights. But it's like so expensive to buy a ticket to get into Chairman's Lounge.
Yeah.
It's basically like a political donation to give them those tickets.
Okay.
But there's rules around like what a political donation is. And that's why, allegedly, Qantas is so successful.
It's nuts, right? Like, it's a crazy situation. I do hope they shut it down. But then the people who've... Like, both sides of politics are getting it. Both soft left
and
soft right.
Well, yeah, I think this is the thing that happened with Albo, who's our Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Was that someone wrote a book outing him as having the Chairman's Lounge tickets. And he was like, yep.
I'm the Prime Minister.
That's true.
Yeah.
But then everyone else started dropping like flies and going, you know, so do I. Like, it's this is...
Yeah, everybody's getting
them. Everyone's getting them. I do need to blow my nose.
Not you and I. That's all right. You blow your nose over there and I'll keep talking. We could edit it out, but we're keeping it earthy and real. I mean, like, just in other countries, the leader of the country gets a private plane. Like, I'll talk real loud to cover the nose blown. I knew the nose blown was coming. I could tell. Trump gets a jet. You know, like, don't we want, like, isn't there a level of security and efficiency and waste that we're happy to have when you're just at the top level of running the whole country?
I think, you know what this kind of somehow reminds me of? Do you remember the dual passport thing that happened?
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of that because I think they were like, they kind of got someone the first time being like, oh, well, you can't be a politician because you got two passports. Because you can only be a citizen of one country.
But then it blew out like eight people had dual passports.
It was like so many people. It was like every day it was like a new person.
Yeah.
Who just had to leave politics because they had two passports.
Do you know, the moment that veered into, for me, the most interesting territory was when Josh Frydenberg started to get grilled. Because you can't be eligible for another country. Like, if you can immediately just get a dual passport for another country, you're not meant to be eligible either. But he's Jewish, so at any time that he wants an Israeli passport, he can just get one. And people are like, does this law say... I think it says that Jews aren't allowed in parliament. And people are like, oh, we should stop digging.
I don't remember this.
I just remember it went away after that.
Yeah, I remember it disappearing
up
at a certain point because I think it was like, it was getting to a point where it was like so many politicians...
Wholesale reform. If you are a politician, you are just made ineligible from now on from getting anyone else's passport. We give you a special politician passport.
Yeah.
I don't think we pay our politicians enough to make them not corrupt. I'd love the Singapore model of like, you're getting $1 million a year, you're getting everything you want, no one can buy you. Because then you can do the right thing by the country.
Yes.
Maybe there's no limit to the depravity that these people can go to and be bought. But the fact that you don't have high-speed rail in
Australia.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It makes me so angry all the time. And Qantas is so expensive. And every other airline is so bad.
And it takes so long to get to the city from the airport.
Oh, yeah. It's not. With the exception of Adelaide, where you can't, you don't even have to get a special bus. You don't need a sky bus. You just get on. You pay, you know, $470.
Oh, it's just there. Yeah, it's just there. Yeah. Melbourne airport, though.
It's also why there's not a lot of drone photography in Adelaide. Is because the planes. It's also why we have nice little buildings. Yeah. Because the airport's right there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're so proud of that.
Yeah.
It's one of the main things.
Beautiful.
Melbourne's a mess. You've got to get on that huge runway that goes for, you got 35 minutes to get to the city.
Yeah.
Sydney has that weird long train, which I do like.
That train is good.
I love the train.
It costs a bit more.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it's,
but
it's
double
great.
Decker train.
Yeah, the double decker train is good.
Pulling into circular key.
You can move the chairs
train.
Around.
You, I see you're just desperate to get to this chair moving around.
No, no,
no. No, I could tell. I could tell. We were on a cable car.
In New Orleans.
In New Orleans, and a bridal party of lovely, great big black ladies. I think I can say that. That's an apt description. From the South. They were from Alabama. Roll Tide! They didn't say that, but they clearly loved Alabama.
Yes.
And Sam had moved the back of her cable car chair so that she could sit back. I'd actually moved it and sat you down backwards, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I was going to sit backwards. I was going to take the blow and sit back. I didn't want to sit backwards.
No.
And then you jumped in there and you sat backwards.
Yeah, I'm fine with sitting backwards.
I like to see where we're going. But this lady saw you and was like, how have you done this? Like, we just moved it. She was like, what? And then someone helped her move it. She was like...
Well, she almost fell over trying to move it.
The queen of the... Like... you've never seen someone so satisfied to have a different chair to all of their friends.
She was very happy.
She was so happy. And then there was a lady who talked to you about Australia. And you did not help her feel better about coming to Australia.
I thought I made
hindsight.
Her feel heaps better.
You made her feel like her fear of spiders was more was not irrational.
Well, she was like, I won't go to Australia because I'm scared of spiders. And I was like, let me tell you, I believe that all spiders one day will come together, form one big spider, and kill us all.
Yeah.
So I'm quite scared of spiders.
But then you did
and
follow
I,
it up
and
with,
then I live
but
here.
I live there.
And I'm still alive.
I think you gave her good advice about shaking her shoes out and not leaving shoes outside in Australia.
Yeah, which you should just not
You should
not
do.
Do.
And then what never makes people feel better is to let them know, and this is what I did and I regret it, that she's like, there are big spiders. You go, yeah, but they're not the ones that get you. The big spiders, they just look scary. It's the little ones that'll kill you. It's the redback.
Yeah, we did tell her that.
We did tell her that. Yeah. That was maybe a mistake. She was so happy. We got to go to the casino. We got to walk through... Caesar's Palace.
Yeah, that was something.
Yeah, you didn't have a great time. I had a great time in the casino.
I was having an okay time. I think I just when I go into a casino,
yeah,
I get a bit blinded and I'm by the lights.
It's a lot.
And
it's
and
I
then
mean,
you immediately
like
get lost.
That, right?
I don't think I told you when I because I went to pee and James was like, I'm gonna go.
I went to play craps.
Play craps.
Won $30.
I came out of the bathroom and I was like, I've got no idea where this man is.
Did you get lost on the way? I was standing next to the restaurant.
Two laps.
I thought I had a long time at the crap
stand. And then I found you, yeah.
Yeah. I was having a great time.
Because I just had no idea. Once I got stuck in Crown Casino in Melbourne.
Oh, no, that I've been
was
stuck
like,
in Crown Casino
like a
in Melbourne.
Solid 30 minutes
That's
trying
absurd.
To get out. I couldn't do it.
The accent, yeah, just chatting with people at the casino and at the tables, the accent. You
it
know,
takes you far.
There's almost, there would be things you couldn't get away with, but what I'm allowed to get away with an accent in public spaces in America is crazy. Like getting into areas you're not meant to go, oh, I didn't know. I don't even try and ham it up too much, but people are just like very helpful to Australians.
Yeah, just like you just got to like ask and just be like, I'm so sorry, I'm not from here.
Yeah.
I don't speak your language. People nah, we can't speak the language.
I don't know what's going on. I'm a big silly stumbling around the streets of New Orleans. Well, have you got a gun? You been to Bucky's? I had a sandwich. It was real nice. Brisket. Oh, man. What else have we done? We've done so many things. You saw Walmart. Now, Walmart was overwhelming.
Walmart was huge.
Yeah, but not a happy place, I would say. Did you find it to be a happy... Maybe it wasn't too bad, the one we took you to. We took you more of a Spanish Walmart.
Oh, was that a Spanish Walmart?
No, it's just like in East Austin, so there's more Hispanic people there, and they seem like more together than some of the other Walmarts I've seen.
No, I mean, it didn't seem like a happy place. It was very like... And I think after we went... because we went to the HEB as well.
Now, HEB you did like.
HEB I liked. I think because Walmart, it's just too neat.
Yeah.
And I think that was like, not that we're comparing Walmart to New Orleans, because they're not the same thing, right?
I did not see one Walmart in New Orleans, and I don't think that's a coincidence. Maybe there is a Walmart in New Orleans. There must be.
I think I saw a Walmart in New Orleans.
Did you? Damn.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. Rouge's is a great supermarket.
Rouge's is great.
We've got pickled eggs that no one else wants to eat.
No, we'll make a salad.
Love those pickled eggs.
We'll make an egg salad.
The ingredients are eggs, salt, vinegar, and red. Two kinds of red. We've got red 40,
I think
red 30.
That's what really got you. That's what really got you.
Yeah, I saw it had red.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. Oh, man, we got to do a... Oh, sugar. Sorry, it's been a big little... I knew this would happen. It was a big drive yesterday. And weird memories are opening up.
Yeah.
Slowly. And things I should have meant, like things that were the leader, I'm burying. We went to the comedy show on the second night there with Anthony DeVito.
Yes.
Let me open for him. The great Dan Soder. I saw there was a comedy show. They don't really have many comedy rooms there. I got to go and do a comedy show. Sam came along. Next door was like a Star Wars fashion show, talent show, rave, nerd
fandom
festival.
Sort of, we all met on the internet and now we're all here.
Yeah.
Sort of a thing. Yeah.
That was nuts.
It was great. I had a great time.
We went in there and someone was on stage and you clocked them as being dressed from Twilight immediately.
Yes.
Who were they from Twilight? What? Why? And why was that an interesting thing to dress up as? She looked like she was wearing a baseball shirt.
Yeah, because the iconic scene from Twilight is baseball, because they all are super strong and super fast.
Okay.
And they're all dressed like they've never seen a baseball game before. Like they've just like seen baseball once and they're like, baseball shirt.
Yeah.
Leggings. And then they do like the straight leg where they kick it up and then they like throw the ball like they need form.
Like old-timey baseball.
Very old-timey sort of thing. But just because of like, I don't know, the way the internet has progressed and the things that are memed.
That became memed?
Oh, yeah.
I missed this entire... I only read the books when I was very depressed and 17. So the baseball thing didn't... I didn't know that was a big thing.
I
didn't know. I want everyone to know. I don't know about Twilight.
The first Twilight movie is okay.
Okay.
I wouldn't...
Do they get better from that point or
no.
fall down?
No, they get way worse.
Okay.
Have you seen the CGI face of the baby at the end?
No. What's happening with that?
Oh, look it up. It's awful.
CGI baby Twilight?
Yeah, you'll find out.
This is the first time I'm hearing about it.
Oh, Renesmee as well.
Well, unlike bad rom-com movies, we started watching some Hallmark stuff. CGI baby Twilight's the first one. Let's have a look. Yeah, what's wrong with that? Oh, what? Hold on. Is that in the movie?
Yeah. Because she ends up having... This is spoilers.
Yeah.
But so...
Wait, is that the baby?
Yeah, that's the baby. So she has a baby with Robert Pattinson.
Yes.
And then it like... The author, Stephanie... Whatever her name is.
Yeah. Sorry. You can keep blowing your nose anytime. There will be no edits.
Thank you so much. Stephanie Meyer is like, oh yeah, like so you can have a baby when one is a vampire and one is a mortal.
I remember
but
that.
But the sprog has to be.
Yeah, the sprog. Is that what the baby's called?
No, the con has to be.
I didn't know that was the term for that. Vampire
from the vampire because like you know men once they turn 16 they actually just stop developing anyway. So if you get turned into a vampire.
Right.
As a male when you're an adult.
Yes.
You can still impregnate women, apparently.
Okay. I remember this in the book and I remember thinking, that makes sense. But now in hindsight, I don't know the rules that would... Well,
I think she was just making it up.
Yeah. She wants to get pregnant.
So she's human.
Yeah.
And then they do it once. They get married immediately, you know.
And then she becomes a vampire and she's pregnant she's a vampire?
And then,
no,
and then they're like, oh, you're pregnant. This baby is going to kill you.
Yeah.
We need to get rid of it. And she's like, no, we could never do that. I would rather have this baby.
I didn't know this.
The fourth book is like a...
I love that. I didn't know there was an abortion storyline.
There's something going on. And she's like, no, we're not going to get rid of
this
baby.
Then the dog man falls in love with her baby?
Yeah. So she... I think it's something like... She has the baby. It's
all right. You loved it. You're of a clearly. You're a huge fan, and you love massive, and you want to be known.
Massive fan.
You want to join the fandom.
This is my cover letter.
I didn't. But why is the baby old?
So, because they want the baby, like for the story.
Yeah.
The baby gets born. Bella gets turned into a vampire like immediately after the baby is born. So it's a one big happy like vampire family.
Yeah.
But the baby basically ages so fast until it's like the equivalent of 21 and then it stops aging.
What?
That's just how they've written it.
Okay. That's what happens to...
That's just what happens to Wait, half vampire, half mortals.
How fast does it get to 21? It's like a couple of days?
It's like days until it's like a like 8-year-old child equivalent.
Okay. What's the baby called?
Renesmee, because she loves both of her mums. Both Robert Pattinson's mum and her mum.
Oh, well, that's a very ugly baby. Okay, so it's not weird that she's going to be a couple days old and in love with the dog man.
Well, so the imprinting is...
Is that one-sided?
Well, the imprinting is that Wolfman, he loves her or whatever stage she is in. So right now he's like an uncle to her,
right?
And then as she gets older,
oh, that's fine. No, that's better. That's better. That's the.
But like, imagine knowing that. Imagine like looking at like an 8-year-old and being like, "Well,
yeah, I don't love it." I mean, I bet people do. It's called grooming. And yeah, it's a big issue. But then people see her. Jacob's feelings will become romantic when Renesmee... Gee, that's a terrible name. Man, I reckon they go... I think this was done very quickly at the end of the fourth book. Maybe I'm misremembering. I think they've stretched this out for the film.
Well, yeah.
Fair enough. It's a weird twist.
Sort of, the fourth book kind of felt like a fan fiction of itself. I think is probably
yeah
how I read it.
I remember it was building to the sex for 3 books.
Oh,
and then they just skipped all the sex. But then like did horrible lurid descriptions of what had happened. Being like, whoa, I heard...
Yeah, well, like the cleaner comes in or something the day after. And she's like,
there's a lot of blood.
This man's going to kill this woman.
Yeah. But they just have a freaky powerful love.
Yeah.
I've told you I met Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, you did tell me that.
Yeah, I'll tell everybody about that. Great guy. Didn't really get to talk to him very much. Hold on. What else? So that was very loud, and they were doing a fashion show, and there was a woman who was doing diabetic stand-up comedy and took her shirt off.
Yeah.
She still had a sports bra on.
Yes.
But it was, yeah, she got the room back a little bit while that happened, but she had real charisma.
No, she was great.
And we got to see Al Capone's bar. Sorry, it's coming at me like a fever dream. I didn't get any videos of this. There's no video for this podcast. We saw Al Capone's bar that had been moved from Chicago to New Orleans.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And we saw the button on the bottom of the bar where Al Capone would call people for some reason, possibly. I don't know what the button was. Someone just thought it was fun to show us the button.
Yeah.
What else happened in New Orleans? It was stumbling around was a big part of it.
It was a lot of stumbling around. The pavements were something.
Yeah, lots of pavement. We were drunk. I was drunk.
Mm.
That being able to drink and walk around is important.
Yeah, that was probably one of the best parts.
I'd like to apologize to my friend Paul, who I didn't take seriously. I didn't judge him. I wasn't against him, but he had lived in New Orleans. That's one of the reasons we went to New Orleans, because he had been there and he talked it up. And he's always talking about the importance of having people drinking and walking in, you know, downtowns. He's right. We've got to do it.
I think it was one of those things that you don't really realize why someone is telling you that until you get there.
Yeah.
And then you go,
it's like better.
I think also, and like, I know that I keep talking about Disneyland in relation to everything that I've seen.
Are you saying, yes, well, we spoke about this very much, that New Orleans is...
Well, because I think it's Disneyland, that like a little main bit where you walk in.
Yeah.
Is based on New Orleans, right?
It's got to be the architecture, the length and size of the streets, fewer drive-bys in Disneyland, for sure.
Has that ever happened in Disneyland?
A drive-by shooting?
Not a drive-by, but a shooting.
Boy, I want to know. Disney? Surely not. Disney. We'll go World, because it's bigger first, and then go Land. Disney World shooting. That would be weird if they if it hadn't happened. Disney World shooting.
I would wonder if it's been like suppressed if it has happened.
There was a report a couple days ago of a popping sound, which people then a rumor spread out across the park that there was an active shooter. They've dispelled the rumor. That's all they're talking about. Oh, man. I was reading about the Hurricane Katrina. Disney Lady shooting? Disneyland shooting. Thank you. Oh, there have been a few incidents. Yeah. Nearby and a hoax. Every now and again, there's an active shooter hoax and people think, here we go. List of incidents at Disneyland Resort. Gee, that's strong content. December 21, 2000. A 15-year-old boy suffered a broken leg after his foot became stuck between a guardrail and the car in which he was riding. Oh! He might have dangled his leg outside the car, causing the injury.
Oh, it's his fault.
Opened 6 hours after... Yeah. Play by the rules. If you're in Disney World. That one involves a death, so we'll skip that. Here we go. This one's only a mangling. A 5-year-old boy was seriously injured when his foot became wedged between the passenger cart's running board. How many of these are going to be guys...
Yeah, this is all to do with guys and rides.
This is, yeah, this
do you
is
know? Oh, guys you and know boys dangling the other day? Legs.
Yes,
it's like 99% of man overboards.
Yeah.
Are men. That like so that's why they still call it man overboard
because it's always a man overboard.
Like no women are falling overboard on a boat.
Yeah, I assume that. Why? Why is it only men? I mean, sometimes we're jumping, right?
I don't know.
Sorry, how many of these are putting their hands in? It's so many. I've got to stop. Standing up in a bobsled ride. What did you think was going to... 10 children were seen by first... no, this one's bad. In 1993, a chandelier fell in Goofy's bounce house.
Oh,
if you have a jumping
awful.
Castle, do not have a chandelier in it.
All right, I'll note that down. Thank you.
If you ever think of that... Oh, man, sorry. There's a lot of incidents. None of them involve a gun... Yeah, the word gun does not appear on that page. So, no. It's so good. New Orleans was... 300,000 people live there. We can't move to New Orleans.
No.
I don't think with the... There's no comedy. There's like two comedy clubs. I can go back to New Orleans, but...
Yeah.
That's it.
You can go to Houston.
I can go to Houston. Houston didn't feel the same as New Orleans. No. New Orleans felt magical.
Yeah, it really did. It was great. It was like, I think what you were saying as well, like it's, there's so many places that feel like someone has had New Orleans described to them.
Yeah.
And they've gone, all right, I'll try to do that.
I'm aware that it might not be good content, me repeatedly saying how good New Orleans is. I know that. And people have done this. Yeah. Do you know people who've gone to New Orleans?
I don't know anyone who's gone to New Orleans.
Right.
I'm going to have to ask.
I know one person who's going to... you hear about it. It's always listed as like... It's like New York, New Orleans. Mm. And then when people are traveling, no one goes from Australia. I reckon we'll check out New Orleans.
Yeah. I think when you first suggested New Orleans, I was like, sure. Like, I guess so. But it was like... I think when we were playing around New York, I was like, yeah, cool. Like,
New York makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you said New Orleans, I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, that's a good second option.
It was easier and cheaper.
Yeah.
It should be known. That's why we did go
there. That's why we went, yeah.
I think it paid off.
No, I think it was great. I would love to go there again. I think the day drinking. Though the day drinking, I think, was quite interesting because I think, like, we have a culture of... I was ready to get, like, hammered.
Were
but
you?
That's, well, yeah. Yeah. But that's not the way, is it?
In America, they...
And I don't think I would have done it because I think you like you stay there for long enough and you're like, okay, like tipsy is kind of the tipsy
we can
is the
stay
is
on
the
tipsy
level.
For a long time.
Yeah.
I think I genuinely didn't see we were out at night a number of times in New Orleans. Yeah. And maybe this is an America thing in general. I don't remember seeing anyone blackout drunk.
No, I think New Orleans I got the sense that it's just cuz it's more like pot smoking.
That would be a big part of it. I think that's America wide. Yeah, yes. We got hit with the
like significantly more, I feel like, in New Orleans than anywhere else.
I don't even know if it's legal there. Hold on.
In New Orleans, yeah. There were shops everywhere.
There's marijuana. I guess I don't even see them anymore because they're everywhere. Like, recreational consumption is illegal. Medical. Yeah, there we go. So it's medical. So it's like you just
say it's depressed.
Yeah, I wonder. I would like to know what the list of medical are. Food's not delicious enough. Oh well, we better write you a prescription.
Oh, that's very disappointing. Yeah.
Oh man, you showed us great. You really took over on the YouTube. In the evenings.
Oh yeah, I see Bitteru.
Yeah, this is the man who collects all the stuff.
Man, yeah,
he loves the cup noodle. That were great video. Do you want to say that again for everybody?
I see Bitteru.
I see Bitteru.
Oh, so good.
I-S-E-E Bitteru. He was very charismatic. The one, look, I enjoyed I see Bitteru. What I loved was, was it Old Things Never Die?
Old Things Never Die.
Old Things, I will subscribe. Excuse me, that was I see Bitteru standing up. That man doing restoration on Old Things Never Die made me so happy.
Yeah, that's very good.
Using making a gummy bear out of a wine press.
Yeah, he got a very old wine press. He buys everything from flea markets for I don't know, €3 or something, because he's in France, I think.
And then just lovingly restores it.
And you can just tell, they're 20-minute videos, but you can tell that would have taken him months to do. Like just months on months on months. And he has this amazing thing called a sandblaster.
Yeah.
And it's just so beautiful to watch him just sanding down.
Removing the bed.
Oh, all the
wood and the paint. And the metal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was concerned when my wife saw the sandblaster because I thought she would want one.
I think you're going to have to get her a sandblaster.
Well, we need to.
Or a Dremel.
We need to organize our life such that we can get to the point where we're back to her getting the power to restore old furniture.
Yeah, I think
because we need to restore the life to restore the furniture, and you being here has been very helpful and really good, and we're all much happier, and the house is in better nick, and we managed like organize a bunch of things for processes in the house, and I'm very happy with it. We got a journey. I did, obviously, if you wanted to stay for longer, that would be fine, but I'm not going to destroy it. You've got to go back. Jared and Nick.
Sorry, what?
Now, I know you've got to go.
You're not going to destroy my...
What, passport? I said I wouldn't destroy your passport, even though having you here has been so great. I would not human traffic. I would allow you to leave. Now, but here's... For the catamaran plan. Mm-hmm. I know it's odd for it to have taken 50 minutes to get into the catamaran plan side of things. You organized a film festival in your home.
Yes.
And you have a different party. You had the pizza party.
Yeah.
You had the film festival party. What was the third one? Matches. You had Burning Man.
The pyramid scheme.
Pyramid scheme to sell matches.
Yep.
You invite all your friends over and you have a big themed party.
Yep.
And the latest one was film festival. And you made a film.
I made a film.
Which was great, but some of the mixing.
Listen, I was organizing a film festival.
I know. It's very rare for the director.
Mixing was not high up on my priority.
Seldom will the guy who's running Cannes Film Festival also show up with a feature. Yeah. So I understand. Nick, who I assume was also, Nick, your partner, who was also organizing it, made a claymation movie that showed us. That was great.
Yeah, beautiful. Truly
he can really do it.
Yeah.
He's got a gift.
Yeah, he really does.
I'd like to, you used to be my boss. Yep. I'm incorporating you now as head of music videos and board games.
Okay. An honor.
You're so organized. You got me to stay at companies for years and do enough work not to get fired. And I'm very appreciative of that.
I did my best.
No one else ever managed to do that with me before. I would like Nick, and I know I'll have to ask him, but perhaps at some point we can jump on a group chat.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like we might get to make a music video with a very celebrated musician. No more information, but I'm hard at work on it. So, and a music video would be required.
Yes.
Do you think Nick would be interested? You know what? Don't answer that now. You run it by him. That's one thing.
I run it by him.
You can
also ask him.
I will ask him.
Yep.
But I'd like you to take charge, because you'll be there on the ground.
Yeah.
You know? It's very rare that the business oversight person also shares a home.
Yeah.
So I think that's good.
I think it works. That.
And the second one is a board game, because we played an escape room. I had to leave halfway through and go to a gig for one of them. But we all... Wow, that's a spider. Do you want to...
I'll just move.
Oh, use that. Is that empty? Is that mug empty?
Yeah, can you use it though?
Yeah. Oh, you're afraid of spiders. That's right. We had a big chat about it. The other one is the there's a little bit of milk in here.
It's just water.
Oh, great. I'll use this paper. The board game idea. Get off of there, spider. Yeah, rotten. There we go. I think it would be good to do a board game.
Thanks, James.
You and Nick play lots of board games, and he's very, you know, graphically talented, and I think you could do the... Whoa!
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have many gifts. I think you're a very talented person. You have a lot of gifts, and we want to use all of them to have me have enough money to buy a boat. But I think... Like, I don't know anyone who researches things better. Like, you were in charge of finding all the food on the trip. Just because you took it upon yourself and you're like, no, this place, I've decided this is the one.
Yeah.
And you have, and I think I've plugged it on here before, but I'll plug it again.
Thank you.
Perfect Forms.
Thank you.
Your recently reactivated Substack.
Yes.
About finding the perfect version of different things.
Of just, yeah. Because I think you want to have everything that is in your life, you want it to be, like, quite delightful.
Yes.
So...
For me, uncontroversial.
And I think this is why I keep thinking about the difference between luxury and expensive, because you want everything to actually feel quite luxurious, but it doesn't, you know.
Or if you're
just think about it hard enough, often you can find it nearby.
I noticed that you selected an incredibly... I mean, again, it was a shotgun shack. This is, I think, was telling, is that we ended up staying in a shotgun shack in New Orleans... But it was like, you picked a great, there were chandeliers.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Ornaments were great. We had to move so many ornaments up high so the children wouldn't destroy them.
Yeah.
And your research abilities are unparalleled. I don't know anyone who can do it better or faster.
Thank you.
If I was to say to anybody, we want to make the best, a board game that people love and feel excited about having, and it's done in a certain way, but not expensive. No one is going to run that task better.
Thank you.
You're number one. Will you accept the commission?
Accept.
Yes! Yes! All right, we're going to have a board game. Type of thing,
yeah.
I'm not good at game theory.
No, I think that's fine. And I think the thing that I have learned with board games, because I've been thinking about this, is I think you just have to let the person making the board game cook a little bit.
I agree.
And I think that's kind of the way it is. And then, like, they've got... You have to let them come up with the concept.
For sure.
And then you refine and you do all of that.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Water,
yeah.
Catamaran plan, if it can be... I don't have to be in it, you know? It doesn't have to have, like, a figure of me running around. It's something I would like to put our name on as a... You know, and get the... But I think if it's at all could be nautical, that's very broad.
I think that's fine.
Okay.
We can do that. Did you hear about the guy who made the new pasta shape?
The new pasta shape?
Yeah.
Not...
So it's... He also does a podcast. It's called The Sporkful.
Okay.
His name is Dan Passion.
If I type in new pasta shape, am I going to find
it? Probably, honestly.
Yeah. Castacelli, created by Dan Pashman. Go, please go on.
So he... I think we kind of... Like, he basically was like, there is no pasta shape that, like, ticks every single box of a pasta that I want.
Yeah.
And so he just spent, like, I think it was like something like 3 years... just researching pasta.
Oh, man.
Oh, you know what? We should buy some. I forgot that we're in America.
Yeah.
We can get it here. We should get it. What am I doing?
He invented...
Yeah, he fully invented a new pasta.
Okay, here are his...
Because he was like, here's everything that is like...
This
he went
is so funny. This
every
is
pasta.
Totally how you talk about every item where you divide it into like, what are the qualities that it must fulfill?
Yeah, so
and
you
how can
see
it do it to
why.
The maximum? So here's for pasta, forkability, how easy it is to get a pasta shape on your fork and keep it there. Sauceability, how well sauce sticks to it. And tooth sinkability, how satisfying... Wow, he's an influence on you.
Yeah, huge.
I'm seeing that now.
Huge.
All right. That's so funny. How satisfying it is to bite into it.
I think that's got a lot to do with like the flour and how al dente it is and all of that. But he makes some good points.
Should we interview this man?
He's great.
Dan Pashman? I know nothing about him. Hold on. That's hilarious that he then made it. Is he a cook guy?
He's a podcaster.
Podcast cook? Is it all about food?
No, he's just a podcaster. He just loves food.
Follow. Inventor of the... Yeah, he talks about the... Well, look, can we see if we can get that pasta shape and have it for dinner?
Yeah.
Because maybe we won't like it, you know? Maybe this is like enlightenment theology, you know, when people are like, we can think of it. You know, sometimes you can overthink it. Like I remember with the hat, I was asking what your criteria yeah. would be for your new hat. And you're like, no, this is more of a one chooses the wizard type yeah. situation. Yeah. I think that's what you're alluding to.
I think something that I've learned through like being the way that I am.
Yeah.
Is that sometimes the best selection is something that you just vibe out. And like you don't need to research every single thing. Yeah, there he is.
It must be said he looks a lot like Don Trump Jr. in this video. Just the beard and the hair. I take it back. He seems like a great guy. I like him a lot. All right.
Yeah, he's great.
All right, let's get that pasta. Do you think we can get that in Austin? We should be able to get that.
I think we're gonna get that pasta. Let's do that today.
I'm fascinated. I didn't even think of food products. All right. Inventor of anything's pastable. Sorry, but it's called the Sporkful. Is the whole podcast about the pasta?
No. No, he's like done this thing. So he's been running this podcast for like, I don't know, a while. And then one day he comes out with a series and he's like, this is the big one.
Okay.
Like, I want to make the best pasta show that I can possibly make. And then he does it. And this pasta just does so well that it's now kind of become bigger than him. And like everyone wants to make it. He originally was like, we're not going to make it gluten-free. And then people approached him. And they were like, we're going to make it gluten-free. And he was like, oh, okay, I guess we're going to make it gluten-free.
All right, so this is a real industry. I'm looking at it now. Wow, all right. That's nuts. It was named one of Time Magazine's 100 Best Inventions of 2021.
I think we can do this for your board game.
We just figure out how to make it the best board game.
I think this is the thing that America has taught me. And I think I never really understood the tall poppy thing that we had in Australia until we've come to America.
Yeah.
Because like... you have someone going to Disneyland and going, I'm going to do that for a petrol station. It's like, that's a crazy idea.
But everyone gets around them here and goes.
Everyone gets around
them.
Oh,
you've got a crazy idea. I hope you do achieve that.
And then you do it. And you kind of like.
Please.
Exactly.
We would love to see it. Here's $100 million. In Australia, they tear you down. We do tear each other down.
Oh, yeah.
I've been involved in tearing people down. People have torn me down. No more tearing each other down. Lifting each other up.
I'm going to go home. I'm going to be like, we're going to make a board game. It's like the pasta shape.
Yeah.
And anyone who tears me now, I'm going to go, you just don't see it.
The best
you'll get
board
there.
Game.
Yeah.
And we can figure out, we need probably more specifics than that. I think a big thing happening at the moment is like cooperative board games.
Co-op's having a big moment
because there are so many people like my sweet wife who does not want to compete.
Yeah.
But also.
I think it gets the women on board.
Yeah. It's a nice couples activity. You can get your kids involved. Everyone's working together as a team.
Also, it is nicer. I will say I do prefer co-op much more. Obviously, because then I don't get upset at the end.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I like a competitive board game where I can destroy people. But I'm happy to tolerate.
But that's because you're very smart.
No. It's not a smart thing. I don't mind losing. I really get into a nasty space.
Yeah.
And I love being there and having a safe area to have to... No, it's true. It's true. It's a problem. I did when Sam was taking over the music on the podcast. Like you play. Oh, I wanted to talk about that. Anyway, first thing I'll say is when you put on some music and you put on, you was like, this is my favorite songs of all time. And then Moby came on immediately, and I did get nasty about.
You did get. I didn't read it as nasty. I thought you were just. Being
I appreciate that you're being very kind.
Not nice.
But I was shooting for nasty. But you played podcasts, and one podcast was terrific. We can give them a plug. That Reply All, which I never listened to.
Yeah.
And I understand there's been some sort of scandal, and one of the men has had to leave, but he was very good.
Well, they've
the
just
music...
stopped doing Reply All now.
Oh, they just ended it?
It's just stopped, yeah.
Cancel culture? I don't know anything about it, so I'm not going to pass comment. But how dare they stop? That was a great... When they're looking for a song that a man remembers, that was a great episode, Reply All.
It was beautiful.
But then you put on the Bolero... podcast
Unraveling Bolero by Radiolab. Yeah,
about degenerative brain conditions.
I forgot how sad it was. I'm so sorry.
My wife and I were crying during the drive.
Yeah, I know. I didn't mean it.
It's fine.
It's a 5-year-old podcast, and I just remember going, "Wow, it's beautiful that someone's made this piece of art based on this beautiful other song."
And then they both have the same degenerative brain condition.
Yeah, and they made it really sad.
All I could think about was having a degenerative brain condition.
Yeah, for the rest of the trip.
I think I've got. And you,
no.
This haunting thing of like, if you make a piece of repetitious artwork, you've got 6 years before you die. That's spooky.
Yeah. And I love iterations on things too. Like,
if it's a long term thing, maybe you're all right. If it's a sudden change, that seems to be a problem. The best board game.
Yep.
First of all, we're getting this pasta.
Yep.
I don't know how we're going to find this pasta.
No, I think we can find it. I think it's like at Whole Foods, maybe.
Interesting.
We'll look it up.
All right. I want this pasta. Now, this podcast has now been going for... Wow, that was a good podcast. It was over an hour. Samantha, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Perfect Forms. Go subscribe. Board game coming soon. Music video also soon. New Orleans. Oh, I should plug all my dates. No one's still listening. I've got them on the website. Catamaran Ho.
Bye.